Blog Talk Radio.
Ron Edwards, and this is the Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Mr. Allen, who continues to be on academic assignment, will be with us next Tuesday and the following Tuesday, and so consequently our phone lines will be open once again. A lot of discussion going on across the world, if you will, particularly after the president's speech to the United Nations yesterday, in which he made all kinds of references. It appears that, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit more depth later on tonight on this program, the Ron and Don program, again coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. These boasts, if you will, these statements of American, quote-unquote, deterrence. Some would call it America terror. In fact, some of the folks in the United Nations Assembly yesterday were kind of in shock as they listened to the president talk in terms that he will destroy, annihilate North Korea, if you will. But we want to utilize the top of tonight's program to talk in terms of some suppression, if you will, once again, in the American Fourth Estate. And that has to do with the conflict that has been going on in St. Louis, Missouri for the last actually 7 days and seven evenings. Newspaper accounts would lead one to believe that there was basically no incidents last night in St. Louis. Other sources indicate something altogether different. But because it is important to identify black heroes, black folks who clearly know what they're doing and how to do it, that is what this program is reserved for, the black American heroes, if you will. And one of the most important heroes who has come out of the experience that is St. Louis and the acquittal, once again, of another white police officer who shot and killed a unarmed African American. That is Heather Taylor, sergeant of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. She is also the president of the quote-unquote African-American black union, if you will, there in St. Louis. She has been the head of that entity since 2015. Her name first came to our attention in working with some others in Missouri during the hectic days of Ferguson. You remember Ferguson, Missouri? I know that you do. And when confrontations began to take place in St. Louis, and when an African American was shot and killed by police in St. Louis, it was her name that began to emerge, though at that time she was not the president of the Black Law Enforcement Association, but she was well respected. Again, Sergeant Heather Taylor of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police. And so it was actually Roland Martin who notified, by virtue of his interview with one of the reporters for CNN, that made us aware that something was going on a lot more in depth, if you will, a lot more revealing with the level of racism that has taken hold across America once again. And it was after Roland Martin had talked in terms of some of the highlights of the trial of the white police officer who in 2011 shot and killed an unarmed African-American named Anthony Smith, if you will, after an alleged high-speed chase. Comments of Judge Wilson of the St. Louis County Circuit Court, who clearly, though he doesn't look like a bigot, but clearly he was, his comments, which I thought that Roland Martin did an excellent job of articulating and crafting in such a way as to catch the attention of many in the United States and across the world. Judge Wilson, who presided over what was a bench trial, in other words, the judge is the sole arbitrator, if you will, of the trial, the evidence, and et cetera. Judge Wilson, who looks like a very kindly white soul, if you will, made the statement that it's unheard of for a Negro who is dealing dope to be without a gun, which was totally inappropriate. I'm not sure that the Missouri State Supreme Court will use that if in fact, there is an attempt by the prosecution to appeal the decision of the judge, which the black police officers, and we will refer to them as the Black Police Officers Association and Union, are now discussing in St. Louis, if you will. This comes at a heightened time of response to another, you know, innocent verdict, if you will. This was an interesting case. Officer Shockley, we may not be pronouncing his name totally correct, but that is the spelling in the news account, was involved in a alleged chase. Mr. Smith was stopped. Officer opened fire. Officer Shockley shot Mr. Smith five times, and it appeared to be that he shot him with his handgun, though it was later determined that that Officer Stockley was carrying an AK-47. Now, this was before Ferguson, if you will, and before the nation's spotlight fell upon St. Louis County and St. Louis City, if you will, and the terrible and deplorable conditions and relationships between the African-American community, Missouri, and law enforcement. Some very revealing types of things came out of that whole escapade known as Ferguson, if you will, and St. Louis, because, see, people have forgotten that an African-American who allegedly had a steak knife was gunned down, captured. That was also captured on video. People have forgotten that African-American. We are hoping next week to have at least one of the top researchers who were very much involved with this program in keeping us abreast, giving us live feeds from St. Louis with regards to what was happening in Ferguson and in St. Louis. Hopefully we'll be able to solicit their expertise on what additionally is happening in St. Louis, Missouri, and the surrounding areas, if you will. But Mr. Smith was shot five times, of course, obviously shot dead, if you will. But then this video appeared, and this video showed Officer Stockley into his squad car, and you could see him rumbling around, and he pulled out what appeared to be a brown paper bag, and then you could see him put something in like inside of his shirt or whatever, and then he returned to the scene, and then he began the examination of Mr. Smith's car and, of course, examination of Mr. Smith's body. And, of course, Mr. Smith did not have a gun, but lo and behold, Officer Stockley and another white officer found the, quote-unquote, a .38 caliber handgun, if you will, revolver, as we call them, silver, if you will. Well, fast forward, in the case that it took, my God, it took 6 years for this case to come to trial, criminal trial, if you will, it was determined that the only DNA that was on that .38 caliber handgun was that of the white police officer. There was no DNA. You know, oftentimes, and we saw this in the case with Michael, brutally murdered by a Ferguson police, white police officer who also was acquitted. In fact, some say that he is living in the same area of Houston, Texas, where Officer Stockley now resides. That came out in the course of information from the major black newspaper in St. Louis. And again, we hope to have some more concise information and detail with regards to that whole scenario. But enters Sergeant Heather Taylor, African-American female, decorated officer of the St. Louis Police Department, respected, well-respected by her colleagues, and in 2015 was voted in as president of the Black Police Union there in St. Louis. In fact, things are so bad in St. Louis and in the area of law enforcement, be it the county attorney. We all well remember the role of the county attorney there in St. Louis County, a man who indicated that he hated African-Americans, Negroes, because they had been involved in the shooting and death of his father. This was the county attorney back in 2014, if you will, who talked in terms of, again, we repeat, how much he despised African-Americans because a African-American had shot and killed his daddy back in 1968, if I'm not mistaken. And the record of the county attorney clearly showed that he went above the call of duty and justice in the prosecution and sentencing of African Americans from St. Louis County. He and the then chief of police, Sam Dotson, who last year, when a new white female mayor took over as the mayor of St. Louis, he Dotson was asked for his resignation immediately, and I guess did comply. There is now another white chief in a city that actually is certainly close to 50% African American, which raises a serious question about voter suppression. They don't talk about that down in Missouri, but then they don't talk about that in a lot of states in the United States where the incidence of voter suppression has increased by leaps and bounds. In fact, Hillary Clinton, in her book, which is now on the shelves across America, has exposed governor of Wisconsin and voter suppression and voter irregularities in the state of Wisconsin, which actually led to Hillary Clinton losing Wisconsin. And in her book, the presidential candidate goes into great detail, great specificity, with great evidence, again, evidence, with regards to how the election was stolen. That same pattern emerged in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. That's why no one expects anything meaningful from the quote-unquote investigation of the highly touted quote-unquote voter suppression commission appointed by by President Donald Trump. He, I will destroy the world to prove that I'm a great white man kind of thing. If you will, you hate to say it like that, but this man has brought this upon himself. Back to St. Louis. In 2011, after Officer Stockley was involved in the murder, Sergeant Taylor was one of the African-American police officers who, by the way, have been joined by the African-American Firefighters Association in St. Louis, who also had called for the conviction of the officer, as well as the removal of Chief Sam Dotson of the St. Louis Police Department. And, of course, Sergeant Taylor did not endure herself to many of the races And in fact, in a copyrighted story just a couple of days ago, it was pointed out that when she began to talk about the white police officer should be charged with murder and convicted, she began to receive death threats, and those death threats were coming from fellow white officers, so much for the so-called thin blue line. In fact, in talking with research experts in Missouri earlier today, we have been reminded of the number of cases that were discovered during the period of examination of the St. Louis Police Department, St. Louis County Police Department, and et cetera, two different entities, and the number of white officers who had been involved in the shooting deaths of African Americans in St. Louis over the last 10 years, if not longer. We said on our national program back in 2014, if you will, and in fact, we may very well play a couple of tapes, information that was being provided to us by an important research group in Missouri. Excellent information, very authentic information about what was going on. This research group also was very much involved in providing us with information on what became a disaster for the University of Missouri at Jefferson City that has led to a serious decrease in enrollment at the University of Missouri and has led to a real downturn, a real stagnant situation with Missouri's athletic programs to the extent that blue chip black athletes in Missouri, and they have some outstanding athletes, are refusing to accept scholarships or attend the University of Missouri to participate, and in fact basically are going out state to places like Iowa State, Kansas State, Nebraska even, Oklahoma State, if you will, even down to Texas, to Colorado State, to Northern Colorado, and such. In other words, they're not going to school in Missouri, and a part of it is the level of racism. By the way, the governor of the state of Missouri, who is a former Navy SEAL, he's also Jewish, if I remember correctly, has maintained that the National Guard, which is basically all white in Missouri, is on standby and prepared to take to the streets of St. Louis and bring order. Now, this comes at a time when, and at least the mayor, according again to newspaper accounts and to our research associates in Missouri, the mayor of the city has expressed her concern to Chief O'Toole, the current chief of police there in St. Louis, Missouri, that she was greatly disturbed by the very racist expressions that were being made by white police officers during basically four consecutive nights of street battles and et cetera. And there has been a suppression of news coming out of St. Louis. We noticed that just in the last 48 hours, that cable channels such as CNN and MSNBC and others have curtailed their information, of course, to concentrate on the hurricanes in the middle Atlantic, if you will, which are now continuing to roar towards Puerto Rico. In fact, as we speak, Puerto Rico is being lashed. In fact, Puerto Rico is 100% dark, if you will. A massive outage of the grid system there, the electrical grid system, and only for the presence of emergency generators and et cetera. The island of Puerto Rico is dark. These names are interesting. We had Irma, and we had Jose. We've got a couple of others that are now beginning to be created. Wind gust of up to 150, 160, 170 miles an hour, if you will. The reason that we're touching on this is because the black populations of many of the islands that are what we call the outer islands, let's say they are to the south of the American Virgin Islands and et cetera, those islands have been decimated, and the protectors the French, the British, and particularly the Netherlands are seemingly having a difficult time of providing aid and safety and evacuation to the populations of those islands, if you will, which have been decimated. We're not surprised because we are hearing a similar story with regards to what's happening in Texas. And we know how long ago that hurricane went through the Texas Gulf Coast, if you will. We're now seeing similar situations in Florida where African Americans, black people, if you will, be they black Haitians or black Cubans, are the last to, quote unquote, be attended to. They are the last to be allowed back into their neighborhoods and their homes and et cetera. So it is business as usual. Now, all of this said, we go back to the suppression of information and news about St. Louis. St. Louis is on the abyss. The possibility of a significant explosion there, if you will, of violence and et cetera, is more than just a discussion piece. We go back to the affiliation with white police officers in the St. Louis Police Department with the neo-Nazi groups, primarily neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups that are in the southern part of Missouri from Cape Girardeau in the so-called Buda, Missouri, across the southern half of Missouri all the way to the Missouri-Oklahoma border, particularly in cities like Joplin and Springfield and Bronson, if you will. And, in fact, one of these days, and we may ask our research associates in Missouri to background us a little bit about the disappearance of the Negro population in southern Missouri at the turn of the last century, in other words, around the period of 1900 to 1907, 1910, when African Americans were suppressed and removed from the area of southern Missouri, if you will. That area has become a hotbed for training facilities for white supremacists, neo-Nazis, Klan, and et cetera. And with the exception of Springfield, the Negro population, the black population, if you will, in southern Missouri are basically encouraged to gas up and don't stop as you go through southern Missouri. We have some friends here that oftentimes go to Arkansas. They go down through Joplin, and Joplin is a very interesting city with a very, very small, minute black population, and there's a specific reason. Again, research will clearly show the existence of significant Klan activity now being reinforced by white supremacists and et cetera. Now, that goes into play back up in St. Louis to a lesser degree in Kansas City, because if Kansas City also explodes, and St. Louis explodes, there aren't enough white National Guard troops in Missouri to deal with both of those situations. And then in some of the smaller cities like St. Joe's, Missouri, if you will, Jeff City, Columbia, Missouri, if those are cities were also to explode, it would be necessary for the governor of Missouri to request federal intervention. And right now, and we begin to ultimately move towards preparation for war, well, the one thing we certainly don't discuss is casualties. But back to St. Louis and back to Sergeant Heather Taylor. She has been a solid force, a rock, if you will, in St. Louis and in the St. Louis Police Department. She has been disciplined a couple times for speaking out, for identifying a different standard, a inconsistent standard, if you will, within the St. Louis Police Department, and particularly amongst the white elected officials in St. Louis and in St. Louis County, if you will. And it is a serious allegation we make here tonight on this program about voter suppression in St. Louis. as well as the economic hardships of the African-American community in St. Louis, Missouri. There used to be a time when the African-American population, as it used to be here in our beloved Shangri-La of Minneapolis and St. Paul, where there was a great economic base, if you will. There was significant prosperity. Businesses and et cetera in the African-American community of St. Louis, it is a different picture now. And it is the reason, as far as we are concerned, based on our own research and et cetera, that there is so much anger within the African-American population of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, we repeat again, if Kansas City, Missouri, becomes, quote-unquote, a center, an epic center of racial animus and retaliation and et cetera, the state of Missouri will be in big trouble. In fact, there was an interesting piece about how unsafe it is, by the way, to travel on the highways in many places in Missouri because of the presence of white paramilitary groups. And this is not just confined to our southern Missouri. We can tell you for a fact that some of the most dangerous white supremacists are in that part of Missouri in which a federal highway, 35, goes through the northern part of Missouri towards Kansas City, Cameron, Bethel, Missouri, right down to Liberty, where William Jewell College is located, going into Kansas City, and et cetera. There are some peculiar things that have happened over the last number of years that we have assessed, by the way, per evaluation, that there are parts of Missouri that are as dangerous as northern Idaho. And, you know, we have been saying no one challenges us. We have no quote-unquote challenge whatsoever about a place called Sandpoint, Idaho, which is the prime military facility along with Mars Hills in North Carolina, white paramilitary groups in training with specific targets being African-Americans. In fact, one of the things that is kind of scary about Sandpoint, Idaho, up around the Spirit River, Spirit Lake, back up in that part, way up the northern part, you would basically go through there on your way to Spokane and then, you know, on to quote-unquote Seattle. But if you're black, if you will, you are in fact, for those that have been monitoring Spokane because of the close proximity to Spokane, up Spokane to the Washington-Idaho border, and because of the proximity to Sandpoint, Idaho, and the disappearance of African-Americans who unfortunately may be traveling the roadways of great concern. In fact, in Canada, in entering the United States at the northern border station in Canada, the Canadian government is oftentimes told Afro-Canadian that they may want to go further west. This is honest to God truth, folks. Go further west and cross in to the United States in Washington State to the facility on the Canadian border, the crossing there. For those of you that have your computers, if you will, if you want to check and see, we would welcome you. For those that have lost loved ones in that part of the United States, if you will, you know what we're talking about, particularly a family that lost a son. That family residing in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who lost a son, who unfortunately was in that part of the world, if you will. We would encourage those that like to do a little research, if you will, welcome. down Highway 1, if you will, towards Highway 2 and Highway 95 into Sandpoint, and then a little bit south, and then catch the connection into Spokane and the Port Falls, Post Falls, if you will, and et cetera. The reason we say that is because of the heavy concentration, and we saw it in Charlottesville, and, you know, already people are trying to wipe that memory out and talk in terms that we don't need to talk about that, that, you know, America for Americans, America first. I mean, America's always been first. I mean, you know, it's not first for black folks, Native Americans and others of color, but, you know, America's always been America first for Caucasians. Though poor whites are now beginning to have some concern and some questions about their future, if you will, in the United States of America. So back to St. Louis, as we begin to wrap the St. Louis report, if you will, we are aware of some serious conflict that has actually been at play for some time within the St. Louis Police Department between black and white officers, and is one of the reasons that white extremists in the St. Louis Police Department are extremely concerned about Heather, Sergeant Heather Taylor, who, by the way, according to the records of the St. Louis Civil Service Commission and et cetera, Sergeant Heather Taylor should have been a lieutenant a couple of years ago. She has been denied promotion. In fact, is the reason, because of her tenaciousness, her fighting spirit, and et cetera, that her colleagues, her American colleagues in the St. Louis Police Department, both male and female, have voted her in as the president of what we identify as the African American Police Officers Association of St. Louis. We cannot impress upon our listening audience tonight the commitment of this young woman. And in fact, some are concerned with the death threats that are being made against her. I'm quite sure the FBI is not breaking their neck to find out who is threatening her, though she is the law enforcement officer. She allegedly is, quote unquote, one of us kind of thing, you know, that rhetoric that you hear. But one has to be concerned about the safety of Sergeant Taylor. And we send this message to her from our fortified position up here in the real land of Uncle Remus, if you will, that she needs to be on guard. She needs to be very cognizant of her surroundings. This is a police department in which a couple of white police officers who were involved in drug trafficking and et cetera actually shot and killed some African-Americans a couple years ago. And for those of you in St. Louis, you know that they were, quote-unquote, exonerated, if you will. St. Louis, Missouri, people now trying to figure out why there is so much animus and anger in St. Louis coming from the African-American community, if you will. If you paid any attention to how the African-American community economically and politically has been treated in St. Louis, you would get a pretty good idea or a better idea. In fact, some maintain now if it wasn't for Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, if you will, there would be a real problem with the employment of African-Americans in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We keep our eye tonight on St. Louis. We offer our prayers to the head of the African-American Police Association, Sergeant Heather Taylor, who, by the way, she is a mid-shift supervisor of the Homicide Division. In fact, well, let's just spend a quick minute. One of the reasons that the neo-Nazi fascists inside of the St. Louis Police Department were so angry with her is that she brought the necessary expertise and was the one back in 2011 that began to call the technical issues as it pertains to the white police officer now exonerated by a white judge by the name of Wilson, for the murder of Anthony Smith. It was Sergeant Taylor who had excellent training, quote unquote, as a homicide investigator, etc. It was she that began to point out the questionable conduct. In fact, some say it was she who called attention to the existence of an illegal weapon by Officer Stockton. That was the AK-47, which he had no business with, which was a violation of the rules and regulations of the St. Louis Department. In fact, based on that, he should have been discharged. But he was always known as a hothead, Officer Stockley, and he was always known as an individual that in the squad rule, if you will, of the St. Louis precincts and stations, that he was known, quote-unquote, person who had great animus and hatred of African Americans. It was interesting to watch him in an interview after he was acquitted and exonerated by Judge Wilson, that he had the audacity, they had the nerve to indicate that he knew how the Smith family felt, if you will. This is a man, Officer Stockley, who at one point in time in what turned out to be a very heated discussion in a squad room with a black officer that indicated that actually Negroes, you know, were insignificant, unimportant, and not capable of being competent police officers. This is the same character that, and it's one of the reasons that it took, think about it, my friends, Mr. Smith gunned down, shot five times, brutally murdered. It took 6 years, you know, for the St. Louis County prosecutor to ultimately bring this case. And then Judge Wilson, we don't want to leave Judge Wilson out. He's an interesting little character, if you will. He's one of those well-manicured white judges, if you will, who likes to, quote-unquote, when he travels, likes to have maybe kind of like our president, maybe a little sweet chocolate, you know, to visit him in his room and et cetera. Yes, yes, Judge Wilson, we know who you are, and we know what you're all about, and we were not surprised by your comments as you acquitted this murderer, if you will, of Anthony Smith. We were not surprised. Your history, your record, Judge Wilson, implies that that's the kind of character that you are, and your affiliation with white supremacist groups in and around St. Louis and southern Missouri would have dictated that you were certainly the best choice for the forces of nullification and violence to be the presiding judge. Again, we're hoping that we will be able next week on this program with the phone lines open, be able to talk with some of our reliable research and political sources in Missouri. There is something much more deeper and more troubling about what happened, about the acquittal, if you will, and about really the suppression of news accounts. As we said before, if it had not been for Roland Martin being interviewed by, I think it was Jake Tapper on CNN, the significant details of what really is going on in St. Louis would have not been known, particularly leading up to the trial. We point out again, we want to overemphasize this, if you will. If it had not been for our Sergeant Taylor and an individual, an expert in quote-unquote forensic examination by the name of Dotson, spelled with a U, the existence of DNA on the gun, the only DNA on that gun, that .38 caliber handgun, if you will. Think about it, my friends. The only DNA, and in fact, what was conveyed to us earlier today by our sources and reliable sources in Missouri, that one of the places that the DNA of this white police officer was actually under the screws of the weapon, if you will. Now, to have your DNA in that kind of restricted area and et cetera means that you've been carrying that gun. In fact, one of the questions that was posed by Sergeant Taylor in 2012 and 2013 was that this gun was a gun that had been used and appeared to be a weapon, though the St. Louis County prosecutor refused to allow a forensic examination, even though they were prosecuting the case, refused to do a ballistics and forensic examination of the gun as being used in a couple of other suspicious deaths of African Americans, including one involving an African American who was shot and killed, and the body was dumped into the Mississippi River, which is, by the way, for those of you that live in St. Louis, you know that what we're talking about is factual. It's been amazing. They call it form, if you will. The number of young African Americans at a specific site along the Mississippi River there in St. Louis have been killed execution style, and a couple of situations in which the automobile in which the African Americans were in was torched, which, by the way, you torch an automobile, you destroy all of the forensic evidence. And for years in St. Louis, activists in St. Louis and black St. Louis police officers have been saying and whispering that there has been a death squad that actually has its roots back into the 1960s and 50s of white St. Louis police officers who later passed the tradition, and that's a sad commentary, who passed that tradition on, quote unquote, to new, young, eager white police officers coming on to the St. Louis department. Oh, by the way, one of the reasons now that is being discussed about the pasting of the white union headquarters, I guess it was spray painted, if you will. Well, it was, you know, graffiti and et cetera. Windows were broken out and et cetera. Now, some say that the white neo-Nazis within the department did that themselves to make it appear that they have a right to be angry. There are at least three white officers in the St. Louis Police Department who were part of the Special Security Unit. Their pictures were shown. The FBI knew it, if you will, who were with the white paramilitary groups. We repeat again, there were at least three white police officers in St. Louis, from St. Louis, who were in Charlottesville, Virginia, and were part of the special security team, heavily armed with 16 and AR-15s and 16s, and et cetera, with a heavy complement of tear gas and et cetera. At least three officers, and by the way, there were a whole lot more than that. Some of the pictures, a couple of the websites have been putting out pictures and have identified some of the white officers that were brought in from other jurisdictions who were part of the security detail. In fact, it appeared we were close here in Minneapolis. Two individuals were discharged from their jobs at a eatery in what is called the exclusive uptown area of Minneapolis, who apparently had been working also as security officers and had been involved in a series of mysterious incidents involving injury to African Americans in their role as both security guards and allegedly working and spitting in people's food at these cafes. For those of you here in the Twin Cities, you know what I'm talking about, because within 3 days of the pictures coming out of Charlottesville and the brutality and the marching and the singing of Nazi songs and et cetera, these individuals were identified. And to the credit of the restaurant, they were terminated, if you will. They have since moved on. One of them left the city a couple of days after his discharge from the restaurant there in Uptown on the south side of Minneapolis and, quote-unquote, was surveilled, if you will, attending the military-style camp just outside of Sandpoint, Idaho, if you will. Heck of a place. Mars Hill, North Carolina, for those of you in that part of the United States, for those of you that live in that area of North Carolina, et cetera, it is another one of those areas in which there are more than is needed to the extent of there should have been an investigation a long time ago of the mysterious deaths of African Americans. By the way, closing on this particular note, the saga, the siege of St. Louis, we as African Americans unfortunately do not have the investigated entities and et cetera to investigate the many cold cases of African Americans, male and female, young and old, who were found on a daily basis throughout the United States, shot, normally always shot through the head, the good old head shot. That's one, particularly when you're being shot with a high-powered, the use of a high-powered weapon with a high-powered bullet and et cetera, you are not going to survive. Back tonight, my friend, is a saga of St. Louis, Missouri, a city under siege and a black population that has said that enough is enough, if you will. Now, because CNN and MSNBC and God knows Fox Network and et cetera have not been highlighting, if you will, investigating and et cetera, does not mean, Black America, that we are not being targeted, that we are clearly the victims of situations and circumstances in which we are being targeted for extermination, that our young men, women, our elderly, if you will, are being assassinated on a daily basis. No one can get the actual numbers. The FBI has the numbers. They know because the information comes across to them. They have their sources. In fact, they have sources in some of the major police departments, particularly after Charlottesville, because Jeff Sessions basically let it be known that any current ongoing investigation of police misconduct, corruption, and et cetera, was to be suppressed. That's the reason that you were not made aware. There are a series of pictures that show the security detail that was protecting the white supremacists and et cetera. Every one of those individuals in that picture were former special forces or current police officers working in a number of municipalities, including St. Louis, Missouri. We've said again, we stand by this statement, that at least three white officers of the St. Louis, Missouri Police Department, in fact, one of them was in a picture in which, and in this case, it was a Caucasian, who was hog-tied, and being carried by the police, I guess, to be thrown in a police van. Hog-tying, if you will, which, by the way, is very dangerous. We've seen a number of people lose their lives, strangled to death, if you will, because they were improperly hog-tied. But in one of those pictures, one of the officers carrying the individual, that officer is shown in a picture from Charlottesville, Virginia, carrying a AR-16, if you will, and armed to the teeth with additional magazines. In other words, for those of you that are members of the National Rifle Association, such as some of us are, oh yeah, a lot of folks don't know that there is a group of black folks that slipped into the National Rifle Association many, 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 many years ago, carrying members. You'd be surprised at the kind of information you get. And if you have someone that has a voice that sounds Caucasian, if you will, and if you have the right kind of almost Caucasian-sounding name, you'd be surprised at the kind of information that one can retrieve. That is one of the reasons, my friend, that we are so well-versed on the white terrorist training that is going on, and we repeat again, Sandpoint, Idaho, Mars Hill, North Carolina. These are dangerous times, very, very dangerous times. And we repeat again, they are black heroes. and St. Louis, Missouri has them, and Sergeant Heather Taylor of the Homicide Unit of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police is in the forefront. But we offer our prayers for her safety, because there has been and there is discussion with regards to the taking of her life, to the assassination of her. Oh, it will be an on-street kind of situation. Allegedly, some crazed individual will open fire, if you will, taking her life. But she is a very seasoned police officer, a very seasoned homicide detective. Heather Taylor, keep that name. Media is not going to provide any information and indicate the trusted status that she enjoys within the ranks of her peers, her fellow officers of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department and other departments across Missouri, particularly up in Kansas City, where they have a very strong Black Police Officers Association. We think tonight, my friends, that this information is extremely important, because in discussing with our associates in the state of Missouri, we conveyed and indicated to them that we were shocked by the low-keyism, if you will, of information relevant to the street battles and the battle for survival of African Americans in St. Louis, and the role of the judiciary system, particularly, again, we repeat, Judge Wilson, interesting personality. In fact, maybe by next week's program, we will have additional information from our research sources in the state of Missouri about this white judge who has more than a quote-unquote casual relationship with white extremists in particularly southern Missouri and the western part of Missouri up around Liberty and back up towards Cameron, if you will, and Bethany, and up towards St. Joe's, a hotbed of criminal and white supremacist activities. In fact, there's some interesting stories that took place as it pertains to the safety of African Americans during the final stages of the completion of Highway 35 that runs from Duluth, Minnesota, north of us here in the Twin Cities, to the Mexican-Texas border, if you will. Very, very interesting group of individuals that used to be operating out of that part of northwestern Missouri. Missouri, and people are absolutely correct in that article that appeared in a couple of major papers and et cetera. Missouri has become a very dangerous state. Of course, it joins some other states. We always talk about, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, and et cetera. There are a lot of places that are dangerous for African Americans here in the United States of America. And we repeat again for your consideration and to be most definitely absorbed as a part of how you travel about this country. You need to be extremely careful, because there are more cold cases, cold case being that which is the death of an individual which, you know, never is solved, if you will. We have a lot of cold cases here in the Twin Cities. But no one wants to pay any attention to who the quote-unquote assassins are. And not every killing is gang-related by a black gang of thugs, if you will. They are thugs, if you will, and they are on the move. Donald Trump has inspired them. Very quickly, in conclusion, we will next week spend a little bit more time on the president's declaration of war. And one of the things that we will do here on the Ron and Don program over the next couple of Wednesdays is to talk in terms of the actual casualties that is guaranteed. The Trump White House has no concern if, in fact, six or seven or eight or nine million little yellow people, so-called South Koreans, and another 7 or 8 or 9 million North Koreans. You know, if 15 million to 20, 25 million little yellow people are killed, you know, then so be it. Let me give you a narrative as we reach a conclusion. This is for those of you that may want to call in next week and ask us the following question. The United States keeps talking in terms of what they expect of China. you know, China is not a godchild of the United States of America. China is the second largest economy on the face of this planet, right behind the United States. That racist tinge that we have a tendency to impose upon others is showing itself. The skirts are being shown from the White House. But let me tell you a scenario. The United States attacks North Korea, uses what is called tactical nuclear weapons, if you will, kill in the first assault 4 or 5 million North Koreans. Do you think that the Chinese are going to allow American or South Korean military, Japanese military? By the way, the Koreans really hate the Japanese, and there's a long history, and we may deal with that at some particular point. But do you think that the Chinese, and for those of you that do not remember it and weren't around, you need to go study it, the philosophy of the Chinese in the conflict known as the Korean War, 1950-1953, when millions of Chinese troops who allegedly weren't that well armed, weren't that well trained, and et cetera, swarmed across the Yalu in support of their North Korean cousins, if you will, and almost drove the heavily armed and so-called superior American and United Nations forces off of the peninsula of Korea. Do you think that the Chinese are not, or they do not already have a military plan in place to come across the Yalu? And that's the reason, in closing, that the Chinese, and again, because of the natural disasters, the 7.1 earthquake outside of Mexico City, a real tragedy, the whole thing of the hurricanes and et cetera, is that we are not being kept up to speed as the American public in general, because right now as we speak, Chinese and Russian naval forces are holding some very interesting exercises. Everybody keeps talking about the United States and the Japanese and the South Koreans are holding exercises, and they keep making the statement, American aircraft flying across the peninsula. No, they're flying across South Korea. There's no American planes flying over North Korea. You can believe that. But right now, as we speak, Chinese and Russian naval forces are carrying out exercises, oops, right off of the northern islands of Japan. No one has analyzed that. We have watched closely CNN and all the rest of the top-notch media experts and et cetera. No one has analyzed what that means. The United States didn't even see it coming. Donald Trump marched up to the United Nations yesterday, if you will, professing that he intends to annihilate the North Koreans and et cetera, and yet not a single commentator said that in the meanwhile, what are you going to do with all of these Russian and Chinese military assets that are now in between North Korea and Japan? Keep it in mind, my friends, because we've got an idiot in the White House, but he is a dangerous idiot. He is, in fact, the one who is suicidal. And if allowed to go his way, we may become a quote-unquote race called the human race who will have disappeared from this universe. Thank you again. This has been the Ron and Don program. Join us again next Wednesday. Our phone lines will be open. My associate, Mr. Allen, will be returning. God bless Black America. God bless the people of the Caribbean. And stay strong, Black America. You need to be strong. And for the brothers and sisters in St. Louis, stay strong, stay vigilant, and stay prepared. I'm Ron Edwards.